We thank you, Lord, that on this Reformation Day, we can celebrate the truth that your word has stood the test of time and your truth is the truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, help us today to know the promise that you make to each one of us, and that we will not be distracted, nor Satan would have any power over us to deter us from hearing your word and really digesting it and putting it into practice. Lord, thank you for the gift of your word, your mighty word. It is our fortress and our strength. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you've been around me for a while, you know, as my wife could tell you, that I hate what ifs. Somebody comes up to me and says, what if? I just cringe. Because there's never really an answer to what if, is there? There's always how many answers to what if? Multiple answers. Jeremiah was trying that last night as we were watching the Eastern game and he wanted to go back to the U of M game. He was talking about what ifs. He knew I would eventually give. What if? What if 499 years ago tomorrow, Martin Luther decided, I'm not going to get Frederick, who was paying him to teach at the university and was basically providing him the chapel at the university to preach. What if Martin Luther said, I'm not going to get Frederick mad at me. I'm not going to get the bishop mad at me. I'm not going to get the other academics upset with me. I'm not going to write out these theses because I know that they're going to be controversial. They're called disputations for a reason, because he wanted to discuss at the academic conference that was happening the next day on All Saints Day, when everybody would come in to the Castle Church at Wittenberg, where Frederick the Wise had a huge amount of relics, that they could get time off of purgatory. It was really apropos to talk about this, to talk about indulgences. What if Martin Luther said, I'm going to be politically correct, I'm not going to cause offense, and I'm certainly not going to post these? What if? What would the world look like? God would have found another way. Matter of fact, there were other reformers out there that he just beat them to the punch or to the hammer, whatever you want to call it. But what if none of those reformers thought, you know what? I'm not going to give up my cushy position. I'm not going to give up my salary. I'm not going to give up my safety. I'm not going to take a risk and be rejected. What would the world look like? Yeah. Do you think corruption would have continued? Do you think people would be running around thinking that I have to work my way to God? That grace is not free? That it's not salvation by grace through faith alone? You think there might be a whole intricate system designed so that we would be paying for our forgiveness? That's why I don't like what ifs. Because we'll never know. Why? Because Martin Luther did not care. I shouldn't say he didn't care. He may have cared, but he was bold enough to say, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what's necessary. I'm going to post these theses so that we can have a discussion tomorrow on All Saints Day, so we can, as people come to Wittenberg to worship these relics, we're going to have a discussion about how you get to heaven, how you get salvation, how you get forgiveness. What does it mean? And he was bold and courageous to put those theses on the door. My favorite one, and we actually diverted from our, it's hard to imagine that in my class we would divert from the curriculum. But we diverted from the curriculum today to read the 95 Theses. And it was kind of interesting because my favorite in there, we were reading it, Angie found the 95 Theses in plain English. It's really good. But I had to read the one that I like in the actual English translation of the Latin, because in there it says, if the Pope really has the power to forgive all these sins, why doesn't he just forgive everyone and let everybody out of purgatory? It's just such a plain, simple little question. A what if? It would have changed everything. Brothers and sisters, look at who Jesus is speaking to. Some people say, well, you know, we understand that people out there in the world, well, you know, they misunderstand things. Well, you know, they're people outside of the church. Well, they don't have it all together. They haven't figured it out. But who is Jesus speaking to in this text? So Jesus said to the Jews who had believers. I preach on this many times. I don't know if I pointed this out to you. Do you know that? Did you know this before? He's not speaking to people who don't believe him. He's speaking to people who believed him when the woman was caught in adultery at the beginning of chapter 8, remember? And he wrote in the sand and he said, he who has without sin cast the first stone. They believed him when he said he was the light of the world, right? They believed him. They're like us. They believe in him. Isn't that who they are? And yet, even though they believe in him, when he says these words, what happens? Even though they're the church, they're the believers, what do they say when he says, if you abide in my word and you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, what did they do? Yeah, they answered him. We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. Now, do you believe we're living in a time of spiritual darkness? There's a spiritual darkness, spiritual blindness out there that even among Christians, it just seeks to blind us to the truth that's right there in front of us. Is this not, I mean, they were there. They saw his power. They knew his wisdom. And yet they say, we're not enslaved to anyone. And they're under Roman rule. I want you to think for a second. How many people were they enslaved to over the years? Egypt, Assyria, Babylonia, Babylonians, the Greeks, and now the Romans. Just to name five. There's many more. How can we be blind? I'll tell you how. It's because we believe what people say. We believe what our human nature wants us to believe. And our human nature wants us to believe that we have to figure this out. That we have to do something in order for our salvation. That we have to do something to earn what we get. That's what. So they say, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Then continue. Jesus answered them, truly, truly. Every time he says truly, truly, pay attention. Something important is coming. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So what he's basically saying is, when you're out there sinning, you're enslaved. Whether you are an indentured slave or you have a certificate or whatever that makes you a slave, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the fact that when you commit sin, you're enslaved to it. How many of us have been working on trying to get over something in our life and it just seems like no matter how hard we try, it keeps coming back? None of you. You are so good. You are amazing people. I don't feel I'm worthy. I need to leave. Isn't that the way it is in our life? We figure we got something over here figured out, and then we start working on something else, and then guess what? That comes back. That's why it's so important to be a disciple. That's why it's so important to be mentored. That's why it's so important to be held accountable. That's why I meet every Wednesday for 2 hours with other pastors where I can be accountable, because every time I try to work on something over here comes back. Because as long as we're on this side of heaven, what are we going to have to deal with? Sin. That pesky sin. But that's why we need to hear these words. And that's why Satan and our sinful nature do not want us to hear these words. But I want you to take these words home with you. Put them on your mirror. Do what you have to do to get them there where you can see them. So if the Son, he says, the Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, what? Be free. You're not convincing me. He convinced me because we got to go and have lunch. So if the Son sets you free, no wonder the football team. Let's try it again. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's better. You see, brothers and sisters, I want to close by telling you this little story. I've been working on trying to get someone to come to church. I have sent emails. I have personally called. I've invited them. I've even invited to bring them to church. And I've been working really hard on this. And I've been doing all the right stuff, all the stuff I learned in evangelism class. Okay, I've been following all the points, checking them off as I go along. Finally, a few weeks ago, I shared my frustration, and I said, you know, my associate, my vicar, told me how it took him a while to get here. The Lord had to work on him for a while, right, James? Took a little bit of a while. So I said, I'm willing to, you know, just back off and, you know, give you time and whatever. And the funny thing is, I said, but can you just tell me why? Why? I want you to hear the response, because that's what I want to end with. If you don't think that the Reformation still needs to go on, that this truth still needs to be proclaimed, because I'm not fixed yet. I haven't got all my stuff worked out yet. Like, this is after me explaining we're a hospital for sinners, not a country club. This is after the person even started talking to me about my faith, because they said, you know, I don't know what to tell you about your pastor, but they said, you're real. You're not like the other guys I've met, you know. They make me feel like, you know, I have to be this person. I mean, this is after this discussion, coffee, all this stuff. But yet still in the inner part of this person's being, they feel like they got to get everything all worked out before they come here. Because that's what the lie that Satan wants to put into our hearts, right? And our minds. He wants us to believe that it's up to us. Now, on the side of sanctification, we do have to make choices, right? But on the side of justification, it's all up to God. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. This message is not just, you know, some people say, well, next year's going to be 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Will it need to continue? I'm saying, yes. Because the truth of this saying here, this passage of Scripture, and there's many like it, needs to be communicated. And if we don't share it, who will? If not us, who? If not now, when? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We bring nothing, and we receive everything. May we never forget, and may we always share this wonderful truth of the Reformation. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.